Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Jake X is an Italian singer, producer, sound designer, artist, manager, and director, and has his own management and promotional agency. He's currently based in Barcelona, Spain. Jake has gathered experience doing musical theater in such productions as Notre Dame de Paris and Beyond Dreams. He has collaborated with different rock and metal bands that got him touring Brazil with Blaze Bailey from Iron Maiden fame, singing two songs on stage with Jennifer Batten, and tours and gigs in Europe with Sabaton, Lacuna Coil, Arch Enemy, At the Gates, and playing on the main stage of Metal Days in 2019. Jake has launched his own electric house project called MJE and has played at the Ministry of Sound in London before Steve Aoki. He has also played at the ADE in Amsterdam in 2023 and during Miami Music Week in 2024. Jake has also studied music composition, production, mixing and mastering, management and music business, sound design and the application of sound in a broader spectrum. Jake has produced hundreds of other artists and has also collaborated on projects for MTV, Sky TV, Tether, Plan B Lugano, NetApp, Hot Wheels and a number of others. He was invited to give lectures at the professional university SUPSI in Switzerland and the prestigious international design institution LCI in Barcelona about sound applications in marketing and influences on human behavior. Jake has given a number of lectures to companies and brands with the focus being on music, sound, and marketing. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Jake X. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Well, I'm in Barcelona. I'm Italian, but I moved in Barcelona a couple of years ago and I'm doing just fine. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Now, how did you choose a persona or name, Jake X?
Well, actually, Jake is the only nickname that I always liked because a lot of my friends, when I was, we were teenagers and children, they used to call me names and I never liked them. So Jake is the only one that I ever liked. And X, because it's like this kind of a unknown, mysterious thing that you can't really define. It's everything related to X-Files. Even in Spanish, when you say that something is X, you can't really frame what that is. So I kind of like that. I don't recognize myself as just one thing. So I embrace a lot of things in art and music. So I united those two things, Jake and X. So that's how it came along.
Okay, let's rewind. At what age did you think, cool, you want to be in the music or entertainment world, creative world? And how did that journey progress to where we are currently?
Well, actually, it started when I was 8. But not because I knew it, but because it was my mom, actually. She always figured me and my brother to be at least able to play one instrument. So it started with the guitar. And after that, actually, it was a nonstop journey because I found myself that after starting learning the guitar, I started writing my first songs when I was 10, 11. So at the time, I liked singing along. So when I started singing along, I realized that I needed more technique and I enjoyed singing much more than playing. And so I began taking singing classes, piano classes, music theory and stuff like that. So it always played an important role, a vital role in my life, music. And even though I kept a day job for 12 years, it wasn't up until 24 or 25, even though I was touring, I was recording music, EPs, albums. But up to that point, I was really enjoying it. There's no other way to say. I mean, and I was doing it as a professional, but I wasn't a professional. And up till that moment, I actually, did it for fun, for seeing myself improving day after day. And then I realized that, man, I was always doing music. I was always thinking about music. So, then is where I really decided that I wanted to become a full-time artist. After that point, I actually prepared my way out from the day job. And started to build my brand, my career, and something that at the time that I quit the job, at least I could have like a safe income, and that's how it developed. And right now it's about 10 years that I've been doing only music, but it's basically always been there.
You mentioned that you were a professional, but not a professional. Do you feel that because you were just doing it for fun, even though it was your passion, and it was things outside of your full-time day job, do you think up until the point that you realized that you weren't doing it in inverted commas professionally, it didn't manifest to that level because you didn't see yourself as that label as part of who you are?
Well, this is quite an interesting question. I would split it in two things. It's funny because even though music has always been there, I wasn't able to call myself an artist up until 26, 27. I was 26, 27. So for me, I didn't realize that actually being an artist and being a professional is two things. You can definitely be an artist, even though you're not a full-time professional. Because it's a state of being. It's who you are. It's not actually the way you pay taxes. And then there's the profession of art. When I decided that it had to become a profession, it's simply because I was always thinking about music and I wanted to have all the time available for improving myself and for dedicating to other things. Because after that, I started learning songwriting, music production, mixing, mastering, music management. And as of today, I basically do quite everything. I do have my own agency that supports artists, that promote artists. So that's why I wanted to become a professional because in my mind, that was the only way that I could have hit or at least aspire to excellence. That's when you dedicate 24/7 of your time and of your focus, basically.
You have different avenues in the music world, as you've already mentioned. So let's start with the one you just referenced. What does it mean to be an agent for another artist? For the people who are not in the industry and are not aware, what does it mean to do that role on a day-to-day basis, and what are those aspects?
First of all, for me, it's a huge responsibility because the more that I worked within the industry, I realized that there are so many false myths, so many we're so delusional in a way to say that. First of all, I think we all need to deconstruct before to build something out of our careers. So for me, managing artists is first of all delivering what worked for me, which was building a mental state, a mentality, like correct mindset, because we receive we play along, but most of the time we're playing the wrong sport. We think we're playing by some rules, and actually out there aren't those rules. So managing for me is first to transfer this kind of mindset and the kind of the right approach, which of course there's just not one right approach. It's more like finding your own right approach, but starting from a real love and a real commitment towards music. Because if you're doing just for the sake of the money, for fame, for outer recognition, you won't last, and probably your creations, your work, ain't not gonna be that good. So first of all, this aspect, and then management for me is the research of opportunities. Because artists are every artist is different. They have their own background, they have their own goals, they have their own dreams. And so for me, it's not about establishing one model and then applying flat on every artist, but simply trying to get into their own goals and dreams and get the best out of them possibly. Because I do believe that the industry, when we talk about the music business, the music industry, it's just like a very abstract concept. So there is a lot out there that you can do as a musician, rather than just selling records or write a hit song. So for me, it's about, okay, what do you want? What can you bring today on the table? And what can we do, today and tomorrow to set your path and actually grow, also, maintaining, your core values and being true to yourself? That for me are, the best and the most important things.
Well, that's exactly it. These days, the thought process is that song needs to be 2.5 minutes, and the first 15 seconds has to be ready for TikTok. Because unfortunately, which is bizarre to me, is that a lot of people these days have the mentality of that they can't focus longer or for longer than 15 seconds. It's about pushing away from those trends, and it's about being within yourself, and then from that authentic place, knowing and understanding that you'll be successful. So, what's coming up next for you? Short term, long term, during the next year? Are you working on for yourself or with other artists? Let's dive into your plans for the next foreseeable future.
Well, I'm active on several projects, but my main goals for the short term, let's say 1 year, is that enhancing my activity as a speaker. I do give speeches about sound application, like and marketing for reprogramming your subconscious, so for health and mental health issues. So there are a lot of things that sound and frequencies can do when it comes to healing and when it comes to soothing whatever issue that we have. There are scientific proof all over the place, so it's not even you don't even have to believe what I believe in. You can just read it. I mean, not you, I mean everyone who has doubt about that. Gonna be giving a speech in a very prestigious university in Switzerland about that, actually, but more related to marketing. So this thing is something that is re really important to me. I'm working on another podcast and project with a Dutch sound designer, and we're also that's what we do. That's we try to spread all over the verb of how music can impact positively in our life much more than just like on a Billboard chart or stuff like that. This is something that I'm gonna work a lot on that. Then I'm gonna launch my one-on-one mentoring program for artists. It's like about 13, 15 hours of program dedicated, tailored on for every artist to work on specifically the mentality, the approach, and the monetization of this world. Like I said, there are a lot of opportunities that normally go overlooked because we tend to look only one direction. This mentoring program is about to push and to help artists to get resources from another part, most of all within themselves, and then to reach out and build their network in the future. And then the third is my main career, my music project, which is called NGE. We've been doing quite well over the past year and a half. We have been playing in Miami in the ADE in London with Steve Aoki. So right now we're quite doing a great job in branding. And these three areas, so speeches and sound applications, one-to-one mentoring, and my own music project are going to be probably the most focused areas within the next year.
So let's focus on your music project. You mentioned that you performed at the ADE and with Steve Aoki. So is it DJing like with dance music? Am I understanding correctly?
You're correct. It's a little bit of both. Because actually the lineup is a trio, so there are two DJs and one singer. So I'm no DJ, I'm a singer, and so our idea since the beginning was to focus on electro house and electro pop music, But with that, whenever we go on stage, we try to bring as many live things as possible. So vocals are going to be live. And we also started in clubs to play with real instruments or pads or something like the Daft Punk used to do. That you do have instruments connected and wired to the computer, so you can actually interact and do live music. Because in my opinion, especially in the electronic music, is just about plugging and like a USB stick. And most of the time, you're not really singing live or playing live. So it's actually this project, an electro house, electro pop. And so far, we have been doing pretty much clubs. So, in clubs, you don't have all the time possibilities of playing other instruments like guitars, pianos, and having like a full band with you. But our let's say goal, our final goal is actually to have a full concert. So whenever possible, we're gonna do that. And but yeah, so that's pretty much about it. I wouldn't say that it's probably it's not 100% correct to say that it's like a DJ product project. It includes DJing, but actually it's not the core of it. It's like a bold music project, bold for for many reasons, that as of now presents to the world as a trio with two DJs and one singer, but it's a electro pop, electro house trio project. I think that's the best way to put it.
Now, the songs, are they original songs, covers of other songs, or a combination of both?
Yeah, we one very we're very proud of that because we do entirely everything ourselves. We songwrite, we produce, we mix, we master our own songs. We just released like a cover version of The Weeknd, Blinding Lights, but that was the first of it. We do everything. So our songs are entirely ours. We produce them, we compose them. Guitars and pianos that you can find in our songs are played by us. Right now we're working on a couple of featurings with because we were at the Music Week at Miami, so we met a couple of great artists, and with one of them we're gonna release a song soon. So yeah, the songs and the music is entirely ours. Yeah.
Okay, so now the creation process of these songs, obviously it's the three of you together collaborating, but in that process, is it easy every time? What motivates the songs? Let's unpack into this process of creating them.
Well, for me, normally I take care of the initial creative part of the song as a songwriter and first part of production. I actually the more I studied and the more I tried creative techniques to get in the zone and stuff like that and having a process, I realized that I do not have a process. So I like experimenting. Sometimes it's about taking a walk. Sometimes it's about locking myself in my studio until something comes up. Sometimes it's about doing completely unrelated things. What I can tell you is that I do have a routine. Like I try to write everything at least something every day. I try to sing something along or work on a possible composition every day. Just because like I said, if creativity and artist being an artist is a state of being. Creativity is also a state of being. It's who you are. So in order to stay creative, it's just like a nerve, a muscle. You have to keep it trained. And but I can tell you that as of today, I don't have a pattern. I'm not. I tend not to follow any pattern because I also don't believe in that. I believe in what works for you at that very moment. But then eventually in a couple of months, that's the next song might not be coming out of that same pattern. So, I used to be a very, let's say rigid person, stiff person. And that's also why my music sucked at the time. So I kind of embrace flexibility and the art of not knowing. And also respecting time, because sometimes the best idea is not the one that you are writing today, but that idea needs time to kind of grow, and it's like a seed. And sometimes the idea is not ready. Sometimes you are not ready. Yeah, it was a pretty messy answer that I gave, but actually
No,
it's
it's perfect.
because of what it is. I do have a routine of uncertainty. That's the best way to put it, probably.
Oh, I love that. A routine of uncertainty. If you think of what music is, it's energy and sound waves, which is unseen. So for me, it's a similar concept of when people say they've got things under control. A person cannot see in their own eyes these energies or these sound frequencies or these vibrations. Can you ever see yourself standing and holding onto it and keeping it steady in one place? Generally, a person can't because they can't see it with their own eyes. So that's why when a person says they've got things under control, they generally don't, because when life happens and things happen that are out of, in inverted commas, control, they lose the plot because they're trying to keep things steady and controlled and in structures that are not flowing with the energies and frequencies of life.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm a huge fan of Rick Rubin, especially what he says and what he teaches besides his music. So the more I learn and the more I study about the creative act and creativity, it's completely the opposite of what's logical, what's under control for us. I mean, it's also for the basic structure of our brain, the left hemisphere, it resides in the opposite part. So whenever you try to control, whenever you try to squeeze your future into the idea they have today, most of the times nothing good comes out of that.
Yeah.
And that's also, that's part of my mentoring, because I do believe that we are, especially in the Western world, we're all taught to control and to program things. And I mean, the creative, visualization is important. I do it all the time. I try to attract my future towards today. But there's a subtle difference in when you're trying to, when you're making, your mind up, planning your mind, and everything must go according to plan. And when you're just visualizing, like a result, and then you're embracing whatever it comes. There's a subtle difference, and it needs training, both in your soul and your mind, your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. So, that's why I agree with you. I mean, the people are making up plans, and then the plan never turned out to be the original plan. It might not even, ever become what you were expecting in the first place, but that doesn't mean that it's not good. So be open to that, and just learn that it's a process of becoming who you're meant to be. It's never becoming, and there's no end, basically.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. You're always becoming the next version of yourself.
So you reference visualizing things and then allowing them or seeing them come to fruition. So I've got a great story around this topic. So a number of years ago, I was in London and I'd bought tickets to see my favorite artist, Kylie Minogue. And I'd bought tickets for the Wednesday evening and the Saturday. Now, I'd never been to the O2 Arena before, so I'd booked online. And when I got to the tickets got to the seats for my Wednesday evening show, I was sort of up, quite up, high up in the sky as an overview of the stage. But now with Kylie, it's fantastic because she creates a character out of the stage. So I had a great bird's eye view. And I'm very much a person that doesn't mind going to concerts by myself. I'm very comfortable with that. And I'd noticed there were sort of random single seats here and there, further down nearer the front. So I thought, oh, I want to try and upgrade my seat for the Saturday show to be nearer the front. So the way I saw it happening is the way I approached it on the Saturday. I got there early, went to the ticket counter, spoke to the ticket lady, and I said to her, please, can I upgrade my ticket? And she said, well, they don't do that in any case, and it's in any case sold out. So anyway, I went to go get food at a restaurant in the O2 Arena, remembering there are thousands of people there. And a lady from a couple of tables away from me came up to me and said, hey, listen, we've got tickets for the Kylie show. Would you like to come? And I said, no, well, I've already got my tickets. So I finished my food. And at the time, I was doing my Reiki master course. And I heard my instructor's voice shouting at me, saying to me, listen, it'll happen, but not always the way you see it happening. Or you expect it to happen. So I ran back to the lady and I said to her, tell me. And she said, one of their friends is sick and they have an extra ticket and it's this amount extra. So I said, cool, here's the money. And it turned out I was four rows up from the front on the side, had a great view closer to the stage. So the point of this whole story is to always be open-minded and understand that it'll happen, but not always the way you see it or expect it to happen, because I wanted it to happen, and when it was happening in front of my eyes, and it wasn't in the way I expected, I sort of brushed it off. So allowing the process to happen and always be open to seeing it in other ways and not throwing away those expectations of how it's going to happen and allowing it to flow through in that space.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story.
And I love that.
That's how it works. That's how it works. Exactly. Yeah. And the funny part is that, like you said, sometimes we're so narrow-minded that even when the opportunity is right in front of our eyes, just like 5 degrees offset of our original angle, we actually don't see it and we reject it. That's why it's a beautiful way of learning how to stay alive, in my opinion, and how to draw from the wonderful well of life that's available every day, even from the bad experiences, above all when things don't go your way, because that's pretty much most of the part of our life. Yeah. Things never go the way that we figured it out. So yeah, but that's why it needs training. And I had the chance in my life to travel around the world, so I really understand that this is like a shortcoming, especially in the Western world, where we have an idea of control that in some other parts of like in Africa, some parts of Africa, Latin America, Asia, they are more like trained to stay within the flow and to recognize that the way of life is talking to you all the time. But there are different languages, and the signs are most of the times are completely different. So you have to become a different person to reach, like your antenna must be polished and receiving all the time. Otherwise, you're just in sync on some very little range of frequencies, and yeah, everything that's above or below, you apparently you don't hear them. And that's a limitation.
You mentioned earlier about monetization and the way that artists or performers can make money. So I'm linking this topic to that. So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the journey of the choice, the journey of the unpacking, the booklet, the listening from song 1 to 10 or 15. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, even cassettes and vinyls are making a massive comeback. Vinyls alone last year in the UK, 5.9 million copies sold, the biggest since 1990, and cassettes and CDs are also on an upward trajectory. But we've also got these streaming platforms whereby people consume music on. What is your observation and perception of the landscape at the moment?
Well, like you said, actually, the old model is dead and buried and won't make it back. So when you study these kind of things, you really understand that everything that we thought we knew and that was existing over the past 70 years, it's when the music industry as we know it came to birth, actually was possible because of the margins and the revenues that were coming out of the record sales, the physical record sales. As of today, that thing is no longer possible. So I asked myself, if we're not selling records, what are we selling? What are we doing as of today? My answer, and it doesn't have to be the right answer, I simply believe that as of today, we are selling two things. We have become a personal brand all the way. That's what we are. And probably art has always been like that, because the reason why one painting was worth millions of dollars and the other painting as good as the first one was rated like X, nothing, it's because art is not logical. So there is no logical value, and the economic value is just like a consequence of a lot of things. So what you can do, what you have to do, is to work on your brand, on your perception, because that's what we do. You are perceived as something, not just like a singer or musician. And out there are millions of people doing music as of today. So scarcity is not even is no longer something that was making music also more valuable, because when we have less people singing, less people producing, these things acquire more value. And then the other part, in my opinion, is actually which is quite I approach that with enthusiasm, is that the more we walk towards the AI era, the skills of somebody like a human being able to mix, master, sing, songwrite, and stuff like that will become even more valuable. So I see a lot of musicians and artists today that are thinking that because it's all about technology, They don't need to learn how to sing. They don't need to be great producers. They don't need to be great musicians. Guys, it's completely the opposite.
Yes.
The more we walk towards the industrialization of the music production and songwriting, the more your human skills will be valuable. So that's why it's not the time to think mediocre. It's the time to think about the competitive, like the competition is super high, and the more skills you can master, but actually master, not just say that you can do it,
Yes.
the more you're able to monetize. Like when I started, I would never have thought, even though I always liked, I would never have thought to monetize by giving speeches about music production, about mentoring to other artists. So, but then you had to learn at the time, like public speaking, body language, communication, marketing. So all these tools that are sometimes we don't tend to relate it, they are coming within the basket, the chest of my brand. So it's what my brand can offer. And as Steve Jobs beautifully said, a brand is about marketing, is about values. So try to work on your skills and try to try to find the values that that you represent. And altogether, they will be wrapped within your brand. And with that, you can monetize. So that's the way I see it. If you focus on producing one song that has to be sold, as of today, 99% of the times, you're off for the failure. My personal opinion. Failure, economically speaking, it's just about economics. And in this case, you can still produce songs and hope for them to go viral or to hit the next top 50 Billboard charts and stuff like that. But even though when you are making your first million streams, you might be finding out that it generates only $3,000 to $4,000, and so the cost for you to generate that was much higher than the revenue. So yeah, so that's why back in the day when you were generating not even a million sale, but 100,000 copies, you did see real money on a table. So that's why as of today, those real money aren't on the same table. You have to find other tables.
Exactly. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
They Don't Care About Us by Michael Jackson, one of my favorite. Then Jesus to a Child and One More Try by George Michael. High Hopes by Pink Floyd. And the fifth is probably One by Metallica.
That's a great mix. Most of them are on my list. Some of them I need to add, so thank you for reminding me. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I really believe that what the world needs today is to be breaking rules and thinking in terms of creativity. So I would like people to be brave, people to be courageous, because everything is falling apart. So that's the perfect moment to do things differently, because those who were supposed to know, they don't know either. So guys, be in tune with your soul, with your goal, with whatever it is. Go out there, find it. And that's the message that I try to carry and I try to spread every day through my life.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.